This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And we got some bad news weather-wise. I mean, if you hadn't heard, rain is just going to come and wash away this week.
I thought that was staying away for a while.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
I thought we were getting a break from that. Man.
Hang on a second. Ken just said some dirty words in my ear. Actually, not to me, but to you guys. I don't mind it. He actually mentioned the word snow. Might be coming, too. Now, that's North Georgia where the mountains are, not down here. The whole metro area?
That's the back end of the week. That's the back end of this coming week. We're going to get a lot of rain first.
Okay, I don't mind snow, man.
Yeah.
I get Jesse out there and just have myself. I like it. People were freaking out when we were up in Chicago driving around and the snow was all over the place. And I was like, that just takes me back. There are times where certain, you get into some elements and it just takes you back. And that's one of them for me. So I got no problem with that. Hey, let me ask you a question before we get into the local stuff.
Okay.
You got to win one game. It's the early 90s, late 80s. And they're going between Oral Hershiser and Roger Clemens. Who are you picking?
One was the power. One was more cerebral to me and the pitching staff. And I would.
Well, while you're thinking, on this date, they both signed new contracts, or I should say this weekend. And Hershiser got $7.9 million for a three-year contract. And Roger Clemens got $7.5.
Wow.
Hershiser made more money than Roger Clemens back
then. Wow.
Yeah. And this was still Red Sox money.
Red Sox Roger.
Yeah. Before he got to Toronto and started doing things. Allegedly.
alleged thing. He's still something phenomenal. He's still even when he got to Houston, the back end of his career, and they were, he's still, just tough.
When I think of him, you got to start talking because, I think of him and I think of him not being a Hall of Fame, and I think about Barry Bonds and I think about that Hall of Fame, and then I start thinking about baseball, and then I get back to that whole Houston Astros thing.
Sammy Sosa.
Pardon?
Sammy Sosa.
Who looks nothing like what he used to.
No, he doesn't.
Google Sammy Sosa if you've not seen him lately.
Woo.
It's like he went into witness protection program. He did, man. But yeah, we're going to get more into this Astros thing. It just drives me crazy. The you know what on these dudes to sit and have, put some bass in their voice responding to people saying what they're saying about them. And they're the ones that got caught cheating.
Yeah. They were saying that, hey, that's what the commissioner says, what the league allows, and
And they were just told not long before that by the commissioner, if y'all do this stuff, I'm going to come down heavy on you, which he didn't. The team came down on the executives and the coach, but in the players.
Kind of nothing on the
players. Anyway, you know how I feel about it. I'll present that again later on, too, what I think they should do, and then just be done with it. Just move on.
All right. Yeah. All right.
What's going on locally?
College basketball, kind of a bumpy day for some of the teams yesterday. Georgia falls to Texas A&M, 74-69. Folks, it was just a few weeks ago we were talking about Georgia possibly being a bubble team for the tournament. Man, they're now 12-13 overall, and they are just in a bit of a tailspin right here at the wrong time.
Were they expected to make some noise this year?
They started out looking like there could have been a possibility, like they could have been a team, not saying they could win the SEC, but a team that would be in the middle of that pack and be in position to get a seed, get a spot in the tournament, and they basically kind of played their way out of it this season. That's not happening with them. Georgia Southern falls to Appalachian State, 62-57. Georgia Southern now at 16-11 on the year. Mercer was at home yesterday. North Carolina Greensboro gets them 67-55. Kennesaw State on the road. Stetson 59-42. Stetson was the winner in that one. Over in the AU Center, CAU gets Morehouse this time. They win that game, and so it's a big win for Coach George Lynch. former Laker, former North Carolina Tar Heel, as they split the season. But the game we're at yesterday down on Decatur Street, Georgia State gets the win 92-80 over Coastal Carolina. Georgia State improves to 18-9 on the year, and Damon Wilson and Nelson Phillips both with 20 points each as the team gets set to take off to Texas to play a couple of games out there and then come back for a big Friday night showdown with Georgia Southern that promises to have the place just packed. It's been a transition year for coaching with Ron Hunter moving on to Tulane. And Rob Lanier is coming with a different kind of vibe. Right. Whereas Hunter was this high-voltage character, you know, on sidelines and what, and with Lanier, that's more of him in practice. Mm-hmm. During the game, it's more of a calmness. The intensity is still there. He still wants to win. Still means business. But it's a different type of vibe, you know, with him. And the team has had to adjust to that. The players that came back or had to adjust to that a little bit more. But they're seeing the success in the latter stages of the career. And I think that's what they want to see the latter stages of this season is they head for the tournament to give themselves a chance for a third consecutive Sun Belt Conference championship. So good things to see, multiple sources scoring points. The big guys get to touch the ball a little bit more than they did when Hunter was coaching the team. So they're more of an offensive factor. The plays are running around them, give them a chance to get some shots in. Big fella going to work hard for rebound and block shots. But the other end, you want to reward him, get him the ball, let him try to score a little bit. You know what I mean? But it was a good, great win. And Rodney Turner, who was here with us last Sunday, you had a chance to meet. We enjoyed calling that one yesterday.
So what's this? You got the next two games, getting back to Georgia State. Panthers got two home games.
They got there with
Look past Arlington.
No, Arlington's tough. They got to go
you
there.
And Texas State.
And Texas State.
Because they're all going to be eyeballing Georgia Southern. You're looking at that rivalry game, right?
Yeah. You can't get too far. And that's the other thing. I don't think Coach lets them get behind it because they do. They are a group that does get excited about games like that. And when the crowd is that he doesn't want them to get caught up in playing to the crowd.
Right.
And, you know, that's hard for guys to do. They're in there, the people start cheering, they anticipate something. Somebody throws up a lob pass, an alley-oop, guy wants to go up there and get in and just make the people go nuts. You go up there and you miss that, and coach is going to give you that look. Like, maybe you need to come spend some quality time sitting next to me. you know what I mean? He's that kind of guy. He wants them to have fun and win, but remember to play the game their way and not get caught up in the crowd, not getting that type thing.
Hey, listen, I appreciate the picture last night.
Yep.
You sent me a little picture hanging out with Atlanta royalty.
Yeah.
Well, media royalty. Yeah.
Terrence Moore came through yesterday.
Did he give you his opinion on something?
No, he usually does, and whether he wanted or not. that's kind of what he does, man. You know, two people you don't argue with. You don't argue with Terrence Moore or D-Led. You don't argue with lawyers and Sunday school teachers.
Dude, we need to get D-Led back on here because I don't think people realize who he is when he's not in football season.
It's always football season for him.
Well, but I mean the professor in him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that professor. I don't think a lot of people know that, though.
Professor Led.
Okay. Well, see, people don't know that. Where's he at again?
He's Professor Led, University of Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
over at the Grady College.
You know, there was an anniversary this week, speaking of college basketball. And it was one that always makes you smile. It just makes you smile, especially if you saw it. And if you haven't seen it, you got to go back and Google it. It was like the 25th or 26th anniversary of the famous news conference with John Calipari, where John Chaney was on the side.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. He came at him. I'm going to beat you.
Yeah, old man. Oh, yeah.
Well, and said something about his mama and then his kids going to beat up. Oh. He literally did a Mayor Daley. During that press conference, he told this coach he gonna tell his players to just instill violence on his guys. It's like Daly gets on TV, shoot to kill. Told the cops to shoot to kill those rabble rousers. He did, man. That was one of the greatest news conferences that you'll ever see. And if you haven't seen it, YouTube it. I'm sure it's there. John Chaney goes after Calipari. When he was at UMass?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. UMass and Temple. Those were big basketball games during that time. Big time basketball.
Big East, man. And Big East basketball was the thing, man.
That was serious basketball when those guys met. And so that was huge. You know. And it was a funny thing that the Final Four was in town. You know, I don't know if it was the last time it was in town, but you know, and you would know it too this time. There are certain hotels where the coaches all live because it's the coaches' convention for people who don't know. Okay. All coaches come to the Final Four. Division right. One, Division Two, junior college. A lot of those guys come with their resumes in the back pocket.
Right.
Because it's a good place to go and network and find out who's got an opening, who's looking for an assistant.
Well, the same
coach.
Thing is happening this week and in Chicago with the players. Because
yeah.
that's how these guys decide, I'm going to be a free agent next year. LeBron, hey, got a spot for me in the Lakers. And that's, you know, that's what started him going to Miami when he left Cleveland.
Good, when the
guys
He's
All-Star together, weekends.
Guys together for All-Star weekends. But that's what's going to happen here in April when March Madness comes to town, the Final Four. It's the coaches' convention. And you can go to practically any hotel in downtown where the coaches are staying and just coaches just walk through the lobby door and say, hey, coach! And like 20 folks will turn around. And so we're in the Hilton. We're in the lobby of the Hilton. And we look around and watch the coaches. And sure enough, we're talking to different coaches. Paul Hewitt was the coach at Tech at the time, and he's walking through, and you know, Tarkanian, rest his soul, was still there. Because like former coaches come too, Jim,
sure.
Big John Thompson, the John Thompson, he'll be there. But in that lobby area, I'm looking at one side, and I'm seeing Calipari, and through the door walks John Chaney.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh.
Where's Don King when you need him? Sanction this one.
They're in the lobby, man. Well, it's the coaches' convention, and everybody shows up.
And there was no.
No, they didn't get in the same area of each other, but you can't avoid it. I mean, it's the coaches' convention. So just remember, the Final Four is coming to town. All the coaches will be here. All the coaches will
Sam
be
and
here.
Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You brought up a name that I think the man is still sort of beloved here in town. Didn't get it completely to the mountaintop, but Paul Hewitt.
Paul Hewitt got him to the Final Four.
He got him to the Final Four, man.
Championship game, and the parting of ways. The parting of ways wasn't.
Was
good.
Weird. He went to Seneca from here, wasn't it?
No. He went up to George Mason, and people wondered.
Did he come? Where's Seneca at? Was it before or after?
Sienna.
Sienna.
This way he came from, to coach here. So at Tech.
Yes, Seneca. And,
but he left. But the buyout was like, I forget how much money was it. It was a crazy money.
Yeah,
buyout.
It was.
And people were like, man, why are you going coaching again? You know. So I don't know. I don't know exactly if he's coaching or if he's scouting right now. I saw him a couple of seasons ago. I was at Georgia State for a game, looked up in the stands, and there he was, Coach Hewitt. So, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what he would have to look up and see where he's at right now. But
and every time we see, it seems like during this All-Star weekend, they do some sort of piece on this player, that player. And, I mean, I'm being random, but I have noticed it seems like Bobby Kremen shows up with his opinion. And he's a great get. Plus, he's good on camera.
Yeah,
he's got that New York accent and everything. But I have been seeing him turn up in all these pieces. And, again, it's another one of these guys that takes me back. And I don't know. I talked about Paul Hewitt being beloved here. I think Bobby Kremen still is.
No, very much.
Just he's
very
like,
much, always,
he's the
always.
Guy that everybody is measured by.
His name is on the court over Georgia Tech, and rightfully so.
And Paul, Ken said he's the godfather.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Is Don Corleone?
I don't know about that. But he's that guy that was a transformational figure for basketball in this town at any level. The tickets were hard to get for Georgia Tech games when he came in. Had the pipeline from New York with the point guards.
Can't bring Ken Anderson down here?
Yeah. Stephon Marbury, I mean, you name it. He was bringing the point guards in from New York and really bring good times to Georgia Tech. Times that they would like to return over on the flats for sure.
We are working on a voice, a basketball voice, to join us next. We're not sure just if we can get him, but we're going to continue talking about NBA weekend up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, back together.
On the same side of the glass.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been a little, you know, weird for me. Ken's on the other side. Band's back together. This has just been a little strange for me there. You all right there, Ringo?
Well, he was doing the drums, too. You didn't
okay.
get
Ken. I didn't see that.
Ken was doing a little air drum over there, too.
We have an update from.
That's a good song for that.
We have an update from a feature that we started when we got our Saturday show back for that one day.
Yeah.
And we'll be back.
We'll be back eventually.
Eventually. And we started a new feature with a guy who has an interesting hobby. And it like thousands of you out there right now.
Yes.
And he's a hunter. Excuse me. He's a outdoor enthusiast.
Yes, a sportsman.
He says they're called outdoor enthusiasts.
You don't call him sportsman?
No, he calls himself an outdoor enthusiast.
There was a TV show called American Sportsman.
That ain't his show, and
that was Kurt Gowdy going out hunting and fishing.
Tell everybody what year that show came out. Yeah, exactly. So
American sportsman, man.
He came out on our one show, and the thing about Tracy is that, and he lives in the same subdivision as me, and he's just like a big old kind of Toby Keith dude.
Yeah.
That sits up in a tree when he's hunting, sometimes with a rifle, sometimes with a bow and arrow.
Okay.
So I tried to reach out to him this morning because Deshaun is snoring on Michigan Avenue, and he said he couldn't
throw him
do
under
it.
The he's bus do, like that.
He's,
man,
he's doing. We love Deshaun, but I told him where to go in Chicago, and he did. And that's why he ain't with us this morning.
That's true. He obviously had a great time.
We got an update, and next week,
yes,
he's on another rabbit hunt.
Oh.
Which gives us an excuse to play some Elmer Fudd sound.
It does, man. We're hunting.
And they're all, but to hang on a second, they're all getting ready for turkey season.
Turkey?
He started telling me stuff about turkey season, man.
But I thought the turkey season was in the fall.
Are you a hunter?
Yeah, but we eat turkeys.
Well,
Thanksgiving.
That ain't what I asked you. I see they do it now so you can eat them in the fall, I guess. Anyway, so we'll be hearing from him sometime soon. We got that update, so I wanted to bring that to you.
Okay. All right.
Sam and I are throughout the show have been talking about NBA All-Star Weekend and some of the events that have taken place. Obviously, you got slam dunk and skills, and that is what it is. Although, I won't compare this slam dunk contest to the one that took place last time they had it in Chicago because the participants aren't nearly at the same level. Okay, they did some great dunks. They did some things yesterday.
That was back when the great players participated in the slam dunk competition. They weren't afraid that if they lose, they wouldn't get their shoe deal. Nobody would go buy their shoes.
That's what you get worked up about.
Yeah. Well, I might lose. What if I lose? You know, nobody will go buy my shoe. I'm like, you know, really? So that's why.
You got a problem with
those are back in the days when the stars of the game participated in the slam dunk competition.
But having said that, Derrick Jones Jr. and Aaron Gordon did some incredible things. Aaron Gordon, he must have made a deal with somebody and it didn't work out because he has lost. He won in the court of public opinion.
Absolutely.
A couple times.
Yeah.
But he got no hardware to show for it. And at worst, he should have tied last night.
Yep.
All right, and that's what everybody says. The thing should have ended in a tie, but nobody wanted to be Bud Selig as far as the NBA officials and just call it a tie and be done with it. So they made him continue and continue. Went to like two or three tiebreakers, and it shouldn't have. They did great dunks. Aaron Gordon did a dunk that y'all going to see forever.
Yep.
It was amazing.
That was.
So comparing that to, you know, the 88 one with Neek and Jordan is not fair.
It's a different vibe. Plus, it's Jordan on his home court.
Dominic won that one.
Jordan on his home court, and everybody said no way they were going to rule against Jordan on his home court.
You what? Oh, well, the judges, Gale Sayers, Ernie Banks, and a couple other Chicago athletes.
Well, there was no way
he was going to lose. And then they gave, you know, and by the way, they had a nice piece yesterday with Dominique.
Okay.
They sat him down and had him relive this. He goes, all right, I'll relive this with y'all again. And then he broke down each dunk and how he should have got this score and that score. So it was from his perspective. I keep people keep asking me, you think Jordan's going to show up this weekend? I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't.
I think he
does not show up. We haven't seen him yet. I didn't expect to see him until tomorrow, you know, kind of walking in like Willis Reed. And trying it that way, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't.
He'll be court.
Because everybody's
he'll be
courtside
at the game. He'll be courtside at the game tonight.
Ken says he'll be betting on it.
That too.
So you know, it's been a. I think it's been a nice showcase. The announcement came down yesterday. We had it in the update that the league has renamed the All-Star Game MVP Trophy after Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree on that. That's cool.
Yep.
I wasn't sure what they were going to name something after him for, but this is good. The guy's got the streak for the longest consecutive All-Star Game appearances, which is 18.
Mm-hmm.
Won a few slam dunk contests. Yep. So yeah, I don't know what else. But then we get into the commissioner made a comment about we're working on what we're going to do next for David Stern. And again, you know my stance. You had the previous trophy, or the trophy now, Larry O'Brien Award.
Yeah.
This is a guy who did not care about, he had no vision.
I don't say he didn't have a vision.
He didn't, man. He thought those dudes that were there in the 70s were taking this game down. And I don't want to call him names, but other people have. He was not the most open-minded person. We'll put it that way.
Well, he saw limits. He didn't see limits. And Stern came in and he saw possibilities.
Well,
so that's a different thing. So,
and now 30 years later, look where this league is compared to where it was headed.
I don't think you take a name, thinking about his name off of it.
Why not? That's what you don't do it. Has that never happened before?
You don't take a name off this, off of a trophy for giving someone.
Replace it, put somebody else's?
I've never heard of that happening.
Okay, well, there's a first for everything.
But not for this one.
Well, you can't. Listen, the ones that you've mentioned, while they don't have the loftiness of the NBA trophy, you know, the Champions Trophy.
But he impacted more than just the NBA.
Well, of course, but still, that's the biggest
one.
He
impacted more than just the NBA. He impacted the game
globally. You're absolutely right. But what global award is bigger than the NBA
Olympic gold
championship
medal.
Trophy?
It goes along with the Olympic gold medal.
Dude, you're going to sit here and tell me that winning an NBA – you talk to any NBA player, they would rather have a gold medal than an NBA trophy? There's no way.
I'm talking about the teams who compete for the gold medal in the Olympic Games.
I understand that.
When you get
your
gold medal, your country receives
– By the way, you can't name it that.
Why not?
Because what happens if America doesn't win it? You're gonna give it
to whoever wins it.
The David Stern?
Yes.
You think the people around the world know who David Stern is?
Obviously, they know he was in responsible for the growth.
No,
of the
he
game
wasn't
in the
responsible.
It was through him allowing the NBA players.
It was
to play.
Brundage who ran FIBA. He was the one who looked at this and went, if these guys can't compete, then our competition isn't.
But
It's a lesser competition.
Brundage was over international competition, period.
Not Stern, Brundage. No, the guy who ran FIBA. Not okay. Avery Brundage who ran the Olympics. This is another guy. Because I've watched this piece on him. But anyway, David Stern had to agree with it. But even then, he wasn't all into it in the beginning because the logistics of putting something like that together, none of this really happens without Rod Thorne because Rod Thorne was the one who was put in place to get the players. And his first call was to Jordan, and Jordan's like, dude, I already done this already. I won in 84. I like to play 36 holes of golf every day in my offseason. I'm not doing it. And he's like, come on, Michael, let me see if I can get a couple other players. And he says, all right, well, get back to me. And so he went and then got Magic Johnson, who would have run into traffic to play basketball again because he had been out of the league. So when Magic jumped on, then Larry jumped on.
With the bad back.
Yeah, exactly. And then David Robinson jumped on. So that's when the floodgates opened.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he went back to Michael.
But it was under Stern's watch. It was on Stern's watch.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But he wasn't the reason. He wasn't the sole reason why.
His name should go on something global. To me, for the game, because that's when it took off under his watch.
I got
another point. Kobe Bryant's name will go on this award, and rightfully so. We all agree that he should be on the MVP award of whoever gets the MVP for this game. He was the MVP of the All-Star Game 4 times.
Yep.
But he is not the only person to be an MVP of the All-Star Game 4 times.
And that person would be?
Someone whose name is at State Farm Arena. How about that, sports fans?
Continue.
Sports. I'm just saying, the other 4-time winner played – for the Hawks in St. Louis, Bob Pettit.
Okay.
Bob Pettit is also a 4-time. I'm just saying.
I get it.
So
the
other 4-time All-Star MVP's name hangs over State Farm Arena with the Hawks organization.
That sort of anomaly happens from time to time, and I'll give you the other when you were saying that, and that's fine, but Bob Pettit is a name that comes to mind immediately.
Well, it's a different generation.
Right.
You know what I mean? The game was at a different place at the time, obviously. But he has four All-Star MVP awards.
Much like his older brother, Michael Waltrip got himself a couple Daytona 500 victories.
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't think of Michael Waltrip before you think of Darryl Waltrip.
No. Nah.
You don't think of Eli Manning, who's got two, before you think of his brother. Although you should. But
see, you.
You know.
But football? Yeah, but I mean, that's... Those they were contemporaries. You're talking about that's the difference between them being contemporaries. You know, Pettit is not a contemporary.
No, he's not.
Now, you know what I mean?
He's not. But are you good with what's, you know, would you have seen any other award that you think Kobe's name should have gone on?
I think it's great, and I think it's timely, but I think it's also fitting. I think people were looking for things to do that are of a timely matter, especially since he's announced as a finalist. I mean, he's very present this weekend. Without being there, that's a word you can say. His presence is felt there this weekend, as it should be. But I think that's the neat thing about this weekend, this All-Star game. You know, you're still reflecting on him. He's still getting his due. You know, he's still a finalist for the Hall of Fame, which we expect that to be announced when they mm-hmm. come here for the Final Four in April. So, yeah, I think it's a wonderful weekend for all of his fans and probably for his family to reflect for him to get this honor.
We are going to talk a little bit about a couple folks that are about an inch and a half away from the mountaintop. And one of them is playing this week. Actually, he's playing today. We call him the Redshirt Sunday. Going to check in with Tiger and on the other side, Serena. Up next, there's a reason why we're doing that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Tiger Woods got the shadow right on top of his golf ball, an opening eagle attempt that will go right to left. 25 feet down the hill, very quick. It's got to bend a little bit, and it's bending. And the early fist pump. The eagle has landed at the first for Tiger Woods.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and there is your highlight from the Genesis International Invitational. Yeah, this is his tournament, and he does not like playing Riviera. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Let me do it again. Morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Going to be a rainy next couple days around here. Ken's throwing in, you know, we might get some snow. It's all right. Yeah, we're still. Yeah, it is. We, you know, we can complain about things.
When do we dry out? Is it like we just rain is like just hanging around us here?
There are places on this planet that would kill for some rain.
Oh, sure.
So let's just, you know.
I'm sure.
I'm trying to take the positive side of this.
Okay.
All right. All right. If you're just joining us, we started off the show by passing out Valentine's Day presents. I gave one to Sam and I gave one to Ken because it was. You know, one of those things yesterday where you brought up how was my Valentine's Day. And I don't sweat Valentine's Day. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
But I am a proponent. Learn the virtues of JB. When you learn the virtues of JB, Ken's looking at me now, funny. Learn the virtues of JB makes life easier. You know what JB is, Ken? He goes, no. You know, Mr. Crenshaw?
Yeah.
What?
Just because.
There you go. And throughout the course of the year, if you do stuff just because, if you mess up once in a while, you just don't get the scuds shot at you like you might normally. The virtues of James Brown. No. The virtues of Jay. So I will go get one of them $5, $10, whatever, Kroger bouquet of flowers. Get one. One is smooth. You get one with those little white little things with it. You can watch two games of football and people leave you alone. You got those flowers.
Is that the ulterior motive? That's what you do it for, so what? People will leave you alone?
No, I'm saying this is one of the byproducts of it. No, it is not that. Okay. It is a byproduct of that. It is making a meal, having something waiting for when they get home because you know how hard they were like working all day long. Okay, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Makes life a lot
easier. Yeah, it does. It does.
That's all I'm talking about. So
that makes it very pleasant.
You asked it yesterday. Yeah. I got a bunch of Girl Scout cookies. I thought I'd come and share with my coworkers.
You come and share with them.
Because I don't need that many cookies.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Oh, but you got good stuff, though. Those are really good ones.
Sam and Greg. Oh, by the way.
Do-si-dos.
I was going to give you. Yeah, I love me some do-si-dos. This will take you back. Before we get into this Tiger and Serena thing. You know what happened on this date? 1999 on this date, OJ's Heisman was sold.
Ah.
$230,000. I don't know if that's high or if it's low, but
I don't know what the value of a Heisman is, but because it was his, I'm sure that
and it was 99.
Greatly increased the value.
But you know that was him going, you know, pay the Goldmans and all that stuff. But this was the date they sold his Heisman, and was it stolen first or was it stolen after it was sold? Because I remember it was after, you know, when all the stuff happens, it was removed from the USC.
Okay.
But obviously, I think they found it, got it back to him. But yeah, it was on this date.
Anyway, is that the one? That's the one that the school had, or his personal one now?
So there's two of them. I thought the one that you get
you
is
get
the
one's
one.
Your personal, but the school gets one for display.
I would imagine it was his personal one then, because the Goldmans wanted all his. They wanted stuff from him.
Yeah,
$33 million or whatever the civil suit was. So that was going toward.
You got
paying
certain
that
people
off.
That like George Rogers. Not to say about George Rogers. Has his with him almost all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever you see George Rogers in town, chances are he's got his Heisman Trophy with him.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to carry it along, but he's proud of it, and people know he's a Heisman Trophy winner, and he's the only one from his school, from University of South Carolina. So whenever he goes to play at a golf tournament or something, he shows up at an event or something, he has his Heisman Trophy with.
Do you know how we talk about records that won't be broken? Are you surprised that it hasn't, or do you think it's one of those that will never be broken, and that's Archie Griffin winning back-to-back Heismans?
Man, the guys who've been in position.
Like, you thought Tebow might do it.
You know, yeah, Tebow had a chance. We knew Johnny Football wasn't going to do it. But, I mean, you know, you've had some guys now that we've seen underclassmen, like a freshman, win it.
Right.
You know, you had some guys who've had the opportunity for the longest time. That didn't seem like a possibility. Right. It doesn't seem like it was in the realm of thought that a freshman could win Heisman Trophy. So I don't think so. And I think if a guy gets to his third year and wins the Heisman Trophy, he's probably going to go to the league.
Exactly.
In this day and time.
Right.
So I think that's going to be around for some time before you see two.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I really am. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We just came back with a little sound from the Genesis Invitational. Tiger's out there, and this is his tournament. He's a sponsor of it and everything that surrounds it. But this course, you would think that if it's his, he would – move it to another course. He has more success.
Nah, man, Riviera is where they play that tournament.
I know,
for years.
Man, but he
wonderful Pacific Palisades.
So he sits. He's obviously preparing for the Masters and going for another green jacket. But it's the next win that puts him over. And I believe the next win will make him sleep better if he doesn't catch Jack. That's just me. If he gets the 83 wins. He's all time.
Let me ask you this.
But if he doesn't get to 18 majors, which a lot of people don't think he will, but then again, we didn't think he'd come back, I think he sleeps well. I think he sleeps better.
He's getting ready to head for Florida
and the
Florida swing. And he usually plays well, one or two of those, as he rounds his game in to get ready to head for Augusta. You mentioned back when Serena Williams won the tune-up event for the Australian that maybe they wouldn't fare with. So does Tiger not want to win one of these tournaments in Florida?
No, one's got nothing to do with the other.
It does if you mean want to win the next major.
One is tennis at least, more than golf or the other individual sports. They have an actual designated tune-up in that country for that upcoming major tournament.
Well, no, you don't have this tune-up tournament. There's a series of tournaments.
But I'm saying, but there's one in Australia. There's one just before that.
There's not just one. There's not just one.
Okay, but there's not one between the time she won that one and the actual tournament started, right?
There's several, though, that had happened between January 1 and the start of Australia.
That's not what I'm asking you. What? The last one before the actual Australian Open starts, or the U.S. Open, or Wimbledon.
I think that was
starts.
Another one the week after that. She won one 2 weeks out.
The one that happens the week before that major is specifically there. As you said, yeah, there are others. Some folks could play one or the other, depending on their schedule, because tennis players and golfers got all kinds of different commitments, so they may have a series, as you said. But the one that happens right before it is always traditionally looked at as the tune-up for that major. Would you agree?
No.
Okay, well, I disagree with that.
No, because
we have the one, Wimbledon.
The prime players will play a tournament a week out before they play.
We didn't sit here.
A lot of them don't.
We just played tennis with this little topic and didn't get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But you sit out the week before the U.S. Open. You play the tune-ups leading up to it the week before the U.S. Open. A lot of the main players back out and they go to New York and practice.
All right, we're not done with this.
Okay.
We'll come back
to
this topic. There's a bigger question that we have for each other.
Sure.
Up next, a shot at some jobs and a makeup story.
All right.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.